Hey everyone, welcome to In Focus Video with Adam Goldberg Photography and Joseph Roybal Photography. Thanks for tuning in. It has been a little bit since we've been able to do a recording. So hopefully you saw Barry's a couple weeks ago, which was an awesome episode talking about the transition from real estate photography to commercial photography. But this week, Joe is back from all of his travels and we are going to be talking about some of our favorite camera and photography accessories. And then maybe we'll spend a minute or two as well talking about some of the purchases that we regret.
Right. Yeah,
totally. So, yeah. How are things? Welcome back.
Good, man. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been, you know, sorry that we couldn't connect when I was gone up in the Pacific Northwest there. It really felt like I was, just out there. Crazy how I didn't have internet or Wi-Fi in so many locations, even when we were supposed to. So nice. I'm back though. It's good. Well,
yeah, no, it's good to get away though. So I'm glad you were able to. And I know it was pretty smoky from all the fires. So obviously it disappointed was. That, you know, from that perspective, but obviously our thoughts go out to everybody who is affected by all of the fires and other natural disaster events that are going on in the world.
Totally. It's been, when I was out there, it was so sad to see it. And my cousin lives in Seattle. And so just kind of being out there with kind of locals, if you will, talking about it was interesting to see it from that perspective. And it was really scary for them.
Yeah. So again, our thoughts go out to folks.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good to be back. And I'm excited for this week's, you know, episode talking about some of the things that we bought that we love, some of the things that we've purchased that we kind of think like, if we could do it over again, maybe we wouldn't. And so I think it'll be fun to send this out to people so they can get an idea from us just before, you know, jumping in and buying something that maybe they wish they wouldn't have. Give a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah, because I mean, there's so many things that you can buy. I mean, obviously, most of the talk is around like your camera and the lenses, maybe like your computer or something like that. But there's so many other little things that not only can enhance the work that you do, save you time potentially as well, but it's just hard to sometimes narrow it down and you can end up spending a lot of money on things that you don't need, you don't use. So the hope here is that we can kind of talk about some of the things that we like that have worked out well for us. And like you said, hopefully that, you know, saves some folks some money and gives them something to think about before they make a purchase.
Right. And I'm excited, you know, one of them that you're going to talk about is one of the ones that, and I won't lead into it, but I'm excited that you'll talk about one of these ones because it's something that I think all of us, especially as guys, we dive into all the time and it's like, I need one for every occasion. But then at the end of the day, you're trying to just find the best one. So.
So for sure. All right. Do you want to kick us off here? Do you want to start with maybe one or two of purchases, non kind of camera related?
Not exactly. Okay. So one of the things that I think that, you know, that I picked up that I really love is, well, this is two. These are two items, but it kind of works into one. The first item will be not by brand name specifically, because there are several that make these, but they are the dual battery chargers. And I happen to have picked up this Rad Power. It works really well. You can do two batteries at once and it also plugs in just by the simple USB. So you can do this, like, you know, if you're driving down the road, you can charge as you go. You can, you know, obviously plug it into the wall charger at your house. But another thing is this Omar's little super thin 10,000 milliamp battery pack. And the reason why I like this one is, one, it's really slim. It's done a really great job of lasting pretty well, multiple charges. But the fact that it comes with this little USB cord that doubles as the micro and then also the C, so then I'm able to plug this with this and charge batteries as I walk around, if I'm in the field, if I'm on a backpacking trip, kind of as I go.
That's really cool. So what's the name of the brand of the, just for our audience, that way they know of both items. So if they did want those specifically, they could do it. Okay, so it looks like Rav Power.
Rav Power for this guy. There are several brands that are on Amazon. I think this for two batteries and the charger was around like $40 for the Sony.
That's not bad at all.
So you get two batteries and they work really well. And I have had issues in the past with the Rav Power. One battery out of, for my 850 and the Sony so far since I've switched, I've had one out of four batteries that started really losing a charge quickly. I contacted them and they sent me a whole new system for free.
That's pretty sweet. Will it charge like the official brand?
Yes.
Batteries as well. So if it's a Sony brand, Canon brand, Nikon brand, it'll charge that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And they do a really good job with keeping their software in the battery up to date with the cameras. So like Nikon, I've never really noticed has a problem with using third party batteries. I've heard Canons can, Sony's, you can sometimes, like if you were to buy the older version of this battery pack, which on Amazon, it's easy to find the old one. It'd be hard to make the mistake from what I've kind of gleaned. So when I bought this one for the Sony, I made sure it was the newest just by reading some reviews, and it is. And so this is like updated little chip inside. So when you pop it into your Sony, you don't get an error. But even if you did, it would still work. That's just something to note, you know? So, I mean, Canons I've heard kind of are funny about third party systems.
Yeah, I have a couple. I've had one or two and I've never had an issue. So hopefully it'll work. And then what's the name of the power pack again?
Let's see if it'll pick this up without my face in it.
No, I don't think so. You're going to just have to tell us.
Yeah, it's Omars, O-M-A-R-S. And we'll put links to all this stuff too, I know.
Yeah.
But Omars, and this here was only like 15 or something bucks, super cheap for this guy. And, you know, I have another one here, which I also really like, Anker. You know,
yeah, Anker makes good stuff, A-N-K-E-R, yeah.
Yeah. The reason why I love the Omars is that it has, compared to the Anker, it's hard to see it. It's not focusing. There it is. This is the Anker. It only has one out and one in. The Omars has two out, two in. And so you can really, you know, do quite a bit at the same time with this guy, and it's cheaper. So
yeah, kind of, no, that, you know, makes, yeah, more features, less price. I think that's a win.
Right. And I mean, the Anchors are probably like by reputation, they might be a little bit like better, but at the end of the day, when you're paying half the price for this and it does a little bit more, I just like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's a couple things, but they're kind of collected into one. They kind of work together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What about you?
All right. I'm going to start. I've talked about it, I think, before. I'm going to talk about it again. It's the Cam Ranger. It is a wireless tethering device. This is the version one right here. They have a new version. I have not used it yet. This one works well for me. I haven't found a need to spend the money to upgrade that yet. So sticking with the Cam Ranger one, but it's a great wireless tethering tool. If you are doing architecture photography, again, I'd say it's a must, just because it allows you to share your screen onto an iPad, a computer. So again, you're looking at your image much bigger and you can adjust any of the settings that you need to without touching your camera. So for that, I have used it in landscape photography and travel photography as well. Again, just sometimes it's nice to just have a bigger screen to be able to see kind of what your image is going to look like. So definitely a useful tool. It is a little bit of an expense, so definitely I would say before going and buying the Cam Ranger, I would try the software that comes with your camera. So the EOS camera, how they have a Canon Connect system, I'm sure Sony, and Nikon do as well, a way to kind of connect the camera wirelessly to, you know, an iPad or a computer or something. So definitely try that out, see if that works for you. If not, the Cam Ranger is definitely a good option.
Cool. So just a random thought here. And I don't want to get off on this, but off point, but I feel it's just, so, you know, me and this, I've never used it, but I know that like the Sony, I think you can like Bluetooth, or you can like kind of transmit your, like what the camera sees to your iPhone, you know, so you could be in the field even standing and, you know, can like the new Canons and like some of the, you know, like if you had an iPad, could you, like, how is the Cam Ranger different if you could transmit, you know, via Cam Ranger? Cause I know it's tethering, right? And so is it a little higher quality? Is it a little more accurate? Is that what it is? Or?
I like the Cam Ranger zoom feature. So especially for making sure that my focus is correct, again, whether that's landscape, travel, architectural photography, I like how Cam Ranger zoom function works. I feel like I get a better grasp of, yes, my image is in focus when I'm using the Cam Ranger versus the EOS software.
Gotcha. And especially for architecture, that having pinpoint, like making sure you are sharp. I mean, we want to be sharp in landscape too, but I would think that, you know, for landscape or architecture, that really matters.
Yeah. Really and you know, and I think the way you can review the images in the Cam Ranger is better than the Canon software as well. So for me, the flow, everything about it just works better. It is nice to have the Canon as a backup, you know, if the Cam Ranger, if you don't have two Cam Rangers and one doesn't work or something. So it's good to have options, but the Cam Ranger is, for me, has been a worthwhile investment.
That's awesome. Cool. All
right. I'm going to talk about one other one. I think we're probably going to disagree on this one.
Oh, do I need to get mine out?
You don't need to get yours out. So this is on the bottom here, and so it's the bracket. So this is an L bracket.
Oh, yeah.
It's made by Really Right Stuff. Again, this is a big investment. I know I've kind of talked about two items now that are big investments. I'll have a couple other ones that are a little bit less expensive, certainly. But for me, the L bracket architecture and landscape photography is awesome because you can just go like this and go vertical and just go like this, slide right back in your tripod and go horizontal. And you don't have to touch anything else. You're not messing with the tripod, having to move the ball head to the side or doing anything funky with it. So you like your composition and you just basically want a horizontal and a vertical option of it. The L bracket is an awesome way to go, to be able to kind of make that quick and easy switch. Again, without messing with your tripod. I think that probably matters a little bit more on the architectural side of things than maybe it does on the landscape. Just again, little movements on the tripod when you're working with architectural photography is something you want to avoid. So being able to flip horizontal, vertical can really save you some time and headaches when you're on site. So again, it's made by Really Right Stuff. They make them for just about every camera, and it's a pretty cool little bracket that allows you to kind of just slide into pretty much any Arca functioning head. So it fits pretty much all your standard tripod heads.
Yes. One thing to note with that, and I do know this to be, is when you buy, like you have the Really Right, people buy Kirk, you know, all the different, I tend to just buy like I have like the Sunway photo brand just because it works fine for me and like that. The thing is, on the Really Rights, they have a little bit of a specific. So if you buy the L bracket, this is like something kind of like, I don't know, a tedium here. The L brackets on the Really Rights are compatible with Arca Swiss ball head or like the, you know, the clamps, essentially, any of them.
Exactly. So that's why I said it's universal, which is great. Universal.
But what happens is if people buy the Really Right Stuff head, and if they buy an off brand for this, the Really Rights don't adjust like via a little knob. And then there's a lot of like, it doesn't fit quite right. And that's something that is like really confusing that I've had a lot of people talk to me about that. It's like, so the L brackets are amazing. It's the
bottom. Yeah, exactly. Make sure that anytime you buy a camera accessory, that it works with your camera system and every piece of it. So I think that's kind of a good lesson associated with this. I mean, I know that, you know, some of the places where you buy stuff certainly have generous return policies, but that's, you're still paying shipping and stuff. So
yeah,
make sure beforehand that what you buy works with your camera system.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So that's two. Do you got another one or two that you want to share on the positive side? We're still talking about good purchases.
Yes. Okay. So you got me thinking. I'll wait for you to jump into the one you want to review and say like this was like the positive plus negative. I mean, you know, when it comes to that bit. But I was gonna say tripod in general. You know, for like the positive things. But this is also going to that, like the positive slash, if I would have known better years ago, and tripods are so difficult because more money doesn't exactly mean that they're a better system. And then also like you got to spend a certain amount of money to make sure that it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
That's the hard thing, is kind of knowing. So, you know, for me, I absolutely love this guy. It's out of Colorado here, the Colorado Tripod Company, and they've done everything on the head to the legs, and they are truly phenomenal for the price point, for the weight, for the stability. And so these guys have come around recently, and I love them. So we'll put the link in there, but I just really like the simplicity of it. You know, three columns, super sturdy, you know, carbon fiber. You can't really go wrong. And, but that being said, it holds up well in conditions. That being said, should I talk about the other tripod right now? Like the, or just save that for the next?
Just do it. You're on a roll here with the tripods. So just do it, man.
Because that's okay, and that tripod and setup, a ball head and leg setup, is I think somewhere around $450 for the entire thing, and it is awesome. The other deal, though, I should mention though, they don't yet have like a 4 series, like really tall. Like I know, Adam, you like to get really high with your architecture, so they are coming out with one of those, and they are also coming out with like a Gitzo equivalent for like the Traveler series.
Oh, nice.
So real small, compact, and also really tall. This is their. I think it's their 3 series. I can't recall. But the one that is like really name, it's kind of like house. What do you call it? Household brand.
Yeah. Household. Yeah. Yeah. Household, you know? Name, household brand. Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to like really bash a company, but I have had several of these, and I have had them, you know, given to me by the company, and I've used them quite a bit. But Vanguard, they are great for about 6 months, something like that. And then they really just start kind of like falling apart. Like the grease in the head here on the panning system, I've had to warranty it several times. Like the grease will blow out up in here. It just starts oozing out, and that gets all over your bag and your car, and it's just nasty. And then in the winter, the grease is like, it gets cold and it doesn't pan rotate. Yeah. It just gums up. Mm-hmm. They just don't use a good cold weather grease, and then it blows out too. And then the legs get floppy, which, you know, the Colorado tripod, they don't. So not to bash it.
Yeah, no, I think your point isn't necessarily this tripod.
No.
Isn't, you know, I think you're kind of saying just do your research. Yeah. On the tripod. You know, maybe talk to some other folks who do similar work,
right?
And see find one that has good reviews and as you think is going to work for what you want it to, from a length of time that you're going to have it. So quality of a build, lightweight, stability, all those things, because there's so many different factors into tripods.
There are, you know. You're
and
right.
It's easy to start collecting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tripods. Because, you know, this one doesn't really work, and then you bought another one and that one doesn't really work, and then you bought one that was too heavy, so then you don't take it traveling, and now you have three tripods that you use rare occasions because two of them don't really work, one's really heavy, and now you have to buy a fourth one. So I think that's kind of where you're going with be wary of the tripods.
Be wary of them. And that's the thing, is like really looking into how they perform in cold weather conditions. That's something to really pay attention to, how they handle salt water, you know, for the corrosion. And, you know, just because a tripod is carbon fiber and aluminum for the most part, things to look for are, you know, like if the, you know, the hardware, for example, is also like corrosion resistant, because little things like that can start falling apart, and then it just eats away at it. So just little things to think about.
Yeah.
But again, there is a price point. I always find somewhere in that $500 price point for a tripod, that's where you start getting into something that's like, you know, not having to buy something 2 or 3 times because you spent $300 and you didn't want to spend $200 more. Yeah. Then you have to buy it again. And then, so that tripods, they're tough.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of the
they're an investment, but they're also holding your camera up.
They're just as important as a camera, if not more.
Yeah.
Ways, or they're as important as your camera. So, all right. What about you? What's another?
All right. I'll do kind of one more, and there's kind of two components to it, and then I'll talk about maybe one thing that I kind of regret buying. But this is the Narbox 2.0 SSD. So this is basically a portable hard drive, essentially, is what I'm trying to get at in short. Tons of companies make portable hard drives. I have a couple. I'm going to talk about another one in a minute. I do love the Narbox because, again, it is solid state. And basically what that means is it's a lot harder for you to lose your data because you dropped it or broke it or something like that. The solid state is going to be a lot more durable of a hard drive when you're traveling or on site anywhere. This one is waterproof, dustproof. It's got some USB C and USB, I guess it's USB A slot there, as well as your SD card slot on that side. And then it's got another USB C slot on the other side. This is great. It's basically like plug and play. You just pop it in, you press a button, it starts backing up your stuff, and then it kind of runs through the backup again and confirms to you that your data is secure on the device before you eject it, which is really nice to know that, okay, everything that I just put on here has been backed up. It also, if you're traveling and you're not gonna have access to internet, on the back, it actually has replaceable batteries, which is pretty cool. See if I can pop it out. It doesn't want to pop out right now, but the back has replaceable batteries, which is awesome. So you could bring one hard drive and four or five batteries if you know that you're going to be wanting to back up a lot of stuff and edit. So there's software for your iPad, there's software for the computer. So you can actually then use this basically as the hard drive and be editing photos basically directly off of this, which is really cool. Or if nothing else, you can start to cull through your photos and start starring them. So that way, when you import into Lightroom or whatever software you use, you can have kind of a leg up basically, and already know, kind of the images that you want to start working with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And don't with those Narboxes, can't you also connect your, like another external hard drive to them, and then you can make like mirror backups when you plug in the hard or your memory card?
Yep. Yeah. There's some really cool software that goes with it. Solid state portable hard drives are pretty expensive. So that's definitely something to consider if you're going to be traveling a lot or going into more rugged places where you want something that's a little bit more durable. Something like this, solid state from Narbox, is a great option. I've taken it backpacking trips. I've taken it on African safaris where it's super, super dusty works really, really well. The other option, and I do love this one too, just as much, and they do make a solid state version of it as well. This is the Western Digital My Passport Wireless Pro. So a similar product to the Narbox. They have, again, solid state versions and just kind of regular hard drive versions. This is the regular version. So if you want to save some money, this is a great option to be able to wirelessly back up wherever you are, all of your data, all of your photos, and again, be able to connect it to your computer to be able to start editing as well. Really, really great product. So portable hard drives, there's so many options out there. And it's kind of hard to kind of pick through which ones are going to work best. And, you know, do you just want something basic and simple? I just like these. I like the Narbox. I like this just because I do like the wireless ability of them. So it's one less cable maybe that you have to bring with you places, just so that way, again, you can kind of set it up and kind of work off of it that way. So another really, really cool hard drive. So again, Narbox and the Western Digital My Passport Pro.
Sweet. And then on the Western Digital, does that have batteries to it? Is it rechargeable too?
It's got one rechargeable battery, so you can't replace the batteries. So it's not like the Narbox where you can have a couple batteries with you if you're not going to have access for a while. But I mean, they function similarly. This, you know, again, has an SD slot, and it kind of, you press a button and it confirms that the information's on there. So if you're somewhere where you don't have access to a computer and you want to back it up,
yeah,
you know, kind of something like this is a good option for folks. I mean, I know folks like a lot of, you know, the ones that connect directly to your computer obviously are a lot smaller, but they're not as good for in the field, because a lot of them don't have that SD slot and confirm to you that the data has been backed up. So if you're going to go ahead and deleting everything off your SD card, you want to know that it's safe somewhere else.
It's there. And that's what's awesome about those.
Yep.
Sweet. Cool. What next?
I can talk about, so you kind of talked about tripods as kind of the purchase that you regret in a way.
I've bought so many of them.
Yeah. And so for me, that's backpacks or bags in general. Yeah. So many different bags have so many different features, whether it's the wheelie bag that you're taking on the airplane, whether it's the backpack, the shoulder, you know, messenger bag. There's just so many different options out there, and it's so easy to get sucked in. I probably have about like a dozen different bags.
Yeah.
And it's probably for half of them, it's probably because I rushed into the purchase. I'm like, oh, I need this, and it's something new that came out, and so I like bought it. So I love Think Tank bags. So this is not anything against them. This is entirely me. I have like 3 Think Tank Rolly bags. And it's really because the first one I bought, it's great, but it's really big. And so like barely fits in the overhead compartment when you travel. And some airlines, every overhead compartment is different, so it doesn't fit in some of them. So then I went and bought like a really small one, but that one's like too small for most trips. So then I had to go and buy like a medium size. And by the time I figured it out, it was too late to return them. So I literally have 3 Think Tank Rolly bags. They're fantastic. They last forever. So that's a good thing. But now I have 3 Think Tank Rolly bags, and I really just need one probably.
Right.
So anyways, and I have a couple backpacks and stuff like that. Again, I think it's so easy when you're looking at bags to always just try and find like the bag that's going to carry all of your stuff and be a little bit lighter, maybe organize things a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to then like be like, well, that one might do that a little bit better and stuff. So for me, kind of the purchases that I regret are bags more than anything else.
And it's funny when you'd ask me, what do I want to talk about as my regret? And I was like, tripods. And then you mentioned bags. And I was like, oh God, that one's so obvious, because I'm the same way. And that's what I was saying. Like, guys, like for whatever reason, like, I think we all love our bags, and I'm the same as you, you know, I have, oh God, backpacks. Like, people always comment, man, you have so many bags. Like, what do you need those for? In fact, I was just looking online last night on eBay buying some vintage backpack just to wear around. Why? I don't know. But so, yeah, you're right. So, you know, it's funny, you know, and so mentioning this to people, it's kind of like the idea here is, you know, like you said, you went big. And I think we do that all the time. We're like, oh, I'll just get something like really large because it'll carry everything or hold everything. And then you're like, well, so maybe the takeaway here is, and I think that's valuable info, is to say, go on the medium size of things. Cause I find that's to be like kind of nice, truly.
Yeah.
Generally works out. Have a favorite like now backpack that you've landed on?
Not really. I'm still working through. I have a couple. I have a Mind Shift rotation that I really like, that works well. I do like Peak Designs bags as well. Those are the two that I've been using of late, but neither of them fully fits, I feel like, what I'm looking for. So the search continues on the backpack.
So for me, I'm kind of the same way. I have always been, for years, my biggest thing as a landscape photographer is to never set your bag down in the field. That's what I'm always looking for. You know, every single backpack requires you to take your bag off, put it on the ground, put it in the snow, put it on the sand, on the beach, you know, to get your stuff out of it. they try to sell you on, you can turn it around and access the stuff from the back or from the side. And like, that's hocus pocus stuff, yeah. I think. But so you mentioned the mind shift. So I had been looking at these for years, and I recently purchased one, and it has become my favorite bag. And you know, because it's kind of like, you have the big one, don't you? Like the big, like,
it's, yeah, it's like 30 something liters. It's pretty big. It's like a solid like day or overnight bag.
Yeah. And I went with the Horizon 180, and it's like 34 liters, and it carries a lot of stuff. I'm looking at it right now, but it fits so much in that little rotation compartment. So that way I'm never having to take my bag off.
Yeah.
I can be standing, you know, up to my knees or my waist in the ocean, photographing waves, and then be able to roll my bag around, switch out lenses, switch out stuff, swing that little slider back into the backpack, you know.
Yeah, no, they have some good features. So we can definitely link to that, to the MindShift one as yeah. well for folks.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny, or it's cool that we talked about that, because bags are like, you know, tripods are hard because you never know what you're getting into when you start. It's like researching something brand new, and then backpacks are just a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So, well, cool, man. I mean, those are kind of like some of my, like, little things, you know, battery packs, keeping stuff charged in the field, you know, huge. That's important.
Yeah. For you. I think the only other thing that I would mention is filters. There are so many different options out there. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but really do your research on filters and see what system is going to work best for you. There's screw on, there's square filters that have a mount. There's magnetic filters. So really figure out which system is going to work best for you and spend the money on quality glass. You know, that's an easy thing where you can kind of go cheap and it's going to degrade the quality of your image. And then you're going to end up spending more money because you're going to buy the higher quality one as well. So that would kind of be the last accessory thing that I kind of want to talk about of purchases where it's easy to regret a bad purchase, but filters provide so much value that they are, if you do it right, it's a good purchase.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I tell people all the time that when it comes to filters, just a CPL filter, I have a CPL filter on all of my lenses instead of a UV filter. And I think we've talked about that here at one or another. You know, I have them just because they actually do something.
Yeah, they do.
They're expensive, but.
Well, you can buy cheap, but don't buy cheap.
Right.
Save the money and buy the quality one.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's my big thing too, is, you know, spend the money on the filters. You'll appreciate it in the end. The poor man pays twice three times. But so, yeah, filters are huge. And then the other thing too, I think when it comes to that, not just buying quality, is think of future proofing your setup. So, you know, some of these like Nikon, they just came out with that 14 to 35, I think, for the Z system. They went to an 82 millimeter thread diameter, and you can utilize a screw on filter on a 14 millimeter, lens, which is insane.
Yeah.
But if you were to have bought, you know, 6 months ago a 77, because that was your widest, your biggest lens diameter.
Yeah.
So I just try to explain, you know, to people like, hey, it's not that much more money and it's not that much bigger in your bag. If you're really thinking, and if you want to just buy like an 82, because it seems to be like some lenses go to 82 and in any way, if it's possible. It's hard to know.
Yeah. But it's think about ways to future-proof your purchase. So that way you get the most bang for your buck.
And then you can just put the step down rings, up rings to like match all your lenses. So you could buy one CPL, have it across your entire system of lenses, big to small.
So there you go. So step down. So buy the right size filter and then buy step down rings and everything else for the rest of it. So that's, there you go. That's a good purchase, a recommended camera accessory.
Yeah. So
awesome, man.
Anything else? I'm just looking around here at all of like my,
I mean, we could probably go on forever, but I don't think our audience wants us to do that. So
no, probably not.
So, so I guess we'll wrap this one up then. Camera accessories or camera, I guess it's really more photography accessories than camera accessories. It's things that you need as a part of your photography journey. And hopefully we provided a little bit of insight about some of the things that we've bought that we've been really glad we bought, as well as some pitfalls and areas where we've kind of tripped ourselves up, and hopefully that will help you all from making some of those same mistakes.
Yes. And like, you know, and we'll try to put all these links, and if there's any links that we miss or anything, let us know, but in the notes, so you can access all you watching, so you can access kind of what we've been talking about and using.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, so with that, thank you everyone as always for tuning in. This is In Focus Videocast, and you can find us on YouTube at In Focus Videocast. We are also on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, pretty much everywhere you find your podcasts at In Focus Videocast. You can also email us at infocusvideocast@gmail.com. We'd love your comments, questions, feedback, all of that. We are hoping to get back to doing these pretty regularly. So if there's any topics that you want to hear, do email us. Also, let your friends know that we are out here and that we have new episodes coming out regularly. Again, thank you for tuning in. Check out the show notes for all of the details on what we talked about today. And we will be back with you hopefully next week. So thanks, Joe. Always enjoy chatting with you and getting on the video. And
yeah, man.
Looking forward to doing this again soon.
So I was looking forward to today. It's good to be back.
Yeah, for sure, man. All right. Well, be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Talk soon.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.